Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings on this Monday, June 7, and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast as we continue drawing lessons from the resurrection of Jesus Christ in John chapter 20. And we are looking, first of all, at the implications for the day of worship, as found in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And now we see this first day pattern of worship emerging. It's emphasized in the resurrection account in John chapter 20. The resurrection was on the first day of the week. The first meeting of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, with his assembled disciples was on the evening of the first day of the week. As we saw in the broadcast yesterday, this is the emerging pattern of Christian worship as churches are being established across the Roman world. We saw in Acts chapter 20 how that the disciples in Troas met on the first day of the week, and the Apostle Paul, as significant a figure as he was, as important as he was when he came to town, to Troas, and wanted to meet with the church, with the disciples, apparently had to wait until the first day in order to be able to assemble with the assembly. That's the day they assembled, and that's the day, therefore, that Paul met with them, and he delayed his journey until he'd had that opportunity to meet with them, even though he was in a hurry. But he couldn't gather the church together on any other day. That was the appointed day. That was the accepted day. That was the day that people had arranged their schedules to accommodate. And, as you know, people have busy schedules when they can't always drop whatever they're doing and make other arrangements on the spur of the moment and gather at other times. Sometimes we do have special meetings, and we urge our people to try to rearrange their schedule and to make the special meetings a priority and to lay other things aside in order to be at the special meetings. But we know full well that not everybody is going to be able to do that. Not everybody is going to have a strong desire to do that, and that's another matter. But there are people who would love to do that if they could, but they can't. They can't just stop working. They can't always take days off work. They can't always take extra vacation time or whatever it may be that's required for them to be there. We urge them to do what they can, but we recognize when we have special meetings that we are not going to be able to gather the entire church together for every one of those special meetings. But we do expect to be able to gather the church together on the first day of the week. Now, frankly, even saying that, it's obvious that we don't get everybody together on every occasion. But we get more people together on the first day of the week than any other time. I really don't know of another time, another day, when we have ever been able to get as many of our people together as we can on the first day of the week. Why is that? Well, of course, in our case, it's because it is the established day, the recognized day. That's the day when God's people assemble. That's the day when in America, most businesses closed down, or at least many of them do, fewer of them now than used to. So many of the retail businesses stay open on Sunday, but still, many of the other businesses closed down. Some some factories even continue working on Sunday, especially when they are behind and have special orders to get out. They'll keep working right on through. But under the normal scheme of things, the factories will shut down on Sunday. And that's the day when most people are able to arrange their schedules to meet. It's not 100% on every Sunday, but it is more people, a larger percentage of the people, more people, more of the time on that day than any other day, because that's the day that the church meets, and that's the day when people arrange their schedules to meet. And I don't have to explain all that to you ad infinitum. Maybe I've already extended it too much, but I hope you get the point, because we see the parallel there in Troas in Acts chapter 20. That's exactly the picture that we see there. Paul couldn't expect to meet with the whole church unless he was willing to wait and meet with them on the first day of the week. So it's obvious that first day worship was established even from the earliest of days. And I read again Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And that, of course, is when the young man fell out of the window and fell down and was presumably dead. And Paul came down and by the power of the Spirit of God raised him and restored him to his family and went back up and continued preaching until dawn and then departed. You say, why didn't they get together on Friday so Paul could leave a day or two earlier, or where he wouldn't have to leave in such a rush? It very well may be that there were small gatherings all throughout the week. Paul may have met in this home, that home. He may have had a gathering of a part of the church here and part of the church there. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that was not the case, because we see that kind of pattern elsewhere in the life of the Apostle Paul. But if he wanted to meet with the church, if he wanted to assemble with the assembly, he had to be there on the first day of the week. Could anyone miss the impact of this account, this historical narrative in Acts chapter 20? Could anyone doubt the import of what is being said here in regard to first day worship? And then moving on, we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and Paul is giving instructions to the church of Corinth regarding the collection. And he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Upon the first day of the week. That's when you take your collections. That's when you give your offering. That's when you make your financial arrangements that relate to the church, and in this case, to the special offering for the saints at Jerusalem, on the first day of the week. Now, it's a bit of a stretch to do, as some people do, those who advocate seventh-day worship, who think we are still supposed to be worshiping on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. It's a bit of a stretch, as these people do, to say the church met on the seventh day, but they were instructed to take care of this collection on the next day. Well, if there were nothing else in the Bible, nothing else in the New Testament regarding first day worship, if all we had was the Old Testament pattern of seventh day worship, and nothing said about first day worship in the New Testament, we might draw that conclusion, even though we would be mightily puzzled as to what is the logic of that. That doesn't make much sense to say we're going to have our assembly on the seventh day, but we're going to take care of our collection on the first day. That's awkward. Can you imagine having a special collection at your church, a project offering that's going on week by week, and you're getting together this special offering? Now, we have various projects going on in our church, kind of ongoing type of things. I'm thinking of one right now that has been going on for a couple of years, and we're getting close to the goal. We're trying to raise about $28,000 for a special project, and we're up around $25,000 now, I think. And we just simply run totals in our church bulletin Sunday by Sunday. Very seldom even mention it. It's just there before the people, but from time to time we mention it. Please keep this in mind. If you want to make a special offering to this project, then please don't forget to do so. We need to raise this $28,000. And so we do that on the Lord's Day. Wouldn't it be strange if we said we will worship, we will assemble on the first day, on Sunday, but we want you to make arrangements for the special offering on Mondays? That would be the equivalent of what some people say if they're trying to reinterpret the meaning of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where Paul says in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him his store as God hath prospered him, that there'd be no gatherings when I come. In other words, get this special project offering together before I come, so that it's already ready for me, so that when I come there, I don't have to raise the offering. I don't have to remind you of it. I don't have to use my time and energy getting this offering together. Take care of that before I come and do it week by week on the first day of the week. That's when you take care of it. Now, I say, wouldn't that be strange to say they assembled on the seventh day, but somehow they took care of this project offering on the first day? I say again, that would be the equivalent to our meeting on Sunday, which of course is what we do, and saying, but everybody take care of your part of this special project on Monday. Well, how are you going to do that? Even remembering to do that is going to be a challenge. And how are you going to give it? How's it going to be collected? How's it going to be taken care of? That just doesn't make sense. What are we going to do? Run a courier around to everybody's house on Monday to pick up your collection? And you say, well, it says lay by him in store. And I don't have time to get into all that now. Some people have taken that to mean that this was not an offering that was given at the church meeting, but was set aside by each person. And even if that were true, I don't believe that is true, actually, because I think that phrase, that there be no gatherings when I come, rather eliminates that possibility. Because if everybody were saving it up at home week by week until he'd gotten his amount together, then they still would have had to have one big collection gathered when Paul came. And he would have had to say, come on now, bring all this money that you've been laying aside at home and bring it together. So they would have had to have a bigger collection. So I think it's pretty apparent that lay by in store means to lay by in the storehouse of the church, the treasury. This is a collection that's ongoing at the church. And you give to it when you come to worship the first day of the week, of course. To try to make it the next day just makes no sense whatsoever. It really doesn't. And it is additional evidence for first day worship. The pattern is clear. The pattern is emerging. And as we add brick upon brick upon brick upon brick, the evidence, the example, the pattern that is seen here, when you put it all together, it makes a pretty impressive statement that worship is now on the first day of the week for the people of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.